just means you can't eat.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming for another one of our Shiurim. Today's Shiur, we have a special sponsor. Abe and Judy Alper are sponsoring it for the yard site of Judy's mother, Catherine Osheritz Chanin. Did I pronounce that correctly? Catherine Osheritz Chanin. What do we got here on the sheet?
No,
Shannon. Oh, okay, got it. Pain of Basavram. So, Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and the schuss of our learning, the schuss of sponsoring food that we have here today. And people are welcome to sponsor in the future. We're not looking to make money off it. It's just I go out with a $30 budget to buy this beautiful feast that we have here. So, if you ever one week want to sponsor, just simply email me, tell me. And $30, it's relatively doable compared to other sponsorship opportunities at this shul, from what I'm aware of. So we try to keep it cheap. That doesn't sound good. Inexpensive, that's a better word. Affordable. It's all about marketing. Anyway, so the advertisement that went out is that we're going to today learn about the different taniyos. We're going to learn about the different fast days that take place during the summer. So it starts off, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, beginning of Hilchos Tisha B'Av Ashar Taniyos in Chelek Vav. Chayovim L'Sanos B'Tisha B'Av. We have a chiyuv to fast on Tisha B'Av. They're Dalid Taniyos. Tisha B'Av. Also, Yud Zayin Tamas, which is coming up soon. Shiva Asar B'Tamas. Actually, my Rebbe in 10th grade, he tried to... this is really embarrassing. It's in 10th grade. So he asked the class, what date of the calendar does Tisha B'Av take place? We're all like, I don't know when Tisha B'Av takes place. Think about it, Tisha B'Av. And then he did the same thing with Shavuot for Thomas, and he still got us again. So he's like, in your head, it's like Tisha B'Av. It's just like a one word. You know, you don't even think of what it is in Hebrew. So these are certain dates. Also, B'Gimel B'Tishrei, U'Basara B'Teves. There's also Tainus Esther, but Tainus Esther doesn't make it onto this list. That's another piece in Hari Academy talks about it. I think because Tainus Esther doesn't necessarily have a set date, and that happens to have a nafgamina if someone misses Tainus Esther, could they make it, should they make it up anyway? But these are known as the four different Taniyos, the four different fast days. And what we're going to do today is hopefully there's one piece that we for sure should be getting through, which is the difference between the traditional fast days that are on our calendar versus something called a Tainus Tzibur, which is, if you learn, it's not really applicable today, but you learn in the Mishnayos, you hear in Tainus, you hear about how if there were marauders or there was a famine, there was a drought, so the Chachamim, they would be gozer, they would say that, all right, we're going to be gozer, there's going to be a fast day now, we're going to fast, we're going to pray to Hashem so that God can save us. So those are not on the calendar. Those are case-by-case, ad hoc basis. So there's actually going to be different nafgaminas between the fast days that we have on our regular calendar versus those fast days that Chachamim have the power to institute. And that's what we're going to explore on our first piece. And God willing, if and when we have time, we'll go to a... I'm not going to say we're going to do it from a halacha l'maisa lens, because that's not really our goal. But we'll look at another piece, which is on Bedin Ubros Menikos B'Tisha B'Av Ashar Taniyos, about women who are nursing or gave birth, what their status is in terms of fasting on Tisha B'Av and the other fast days. Okay, so a little background about fast days, and then more of a in-depth case study of a particular case within fast days. So let's start. Kasav Rambam, Perkei Mehilchos Tainus, right at the beginning, Halacha Aleph, Yesh Sham Yamim Shekol Yisrael Misana Behem Ibn Hatzaros She'iru Behen. So there are these fast days, the ones that we just read about, that are on our calendar, and we fast on those days. Why? This is important. Why do we do it? In order to be ma'orer, to awaken us, to awaken our hearts, and to open up the possibility, open up our hearts to doing tshuva and to repenting for our sins. And it should be a remembrance for our terrible deeds and for the deeds of our fathers that came before us and what they did. This is not like today I saw some sort of initiative, so you know, when we clap al khayt. So there was this thing that came out a few years ago, someone from, I think, a more liberal community. So instead of like al khayt on like every sin, it was like we did tzedakah, we did good things, we did. So that's definitely not the approach Rambam's taking with fast days. We're supposed to remember our sins and how awful we are and hopefully do some tshuva for it. So Rambam's very traditional in that respect. I think everyone basically says that. So, Mavur Baramam to Iker Hatachlis Shel Hadalatanios, who Liskor Maaseinu Maaseh Avoseinu Kedei La'or Lavos HaTorah Darkei Teshuva. The point is to remember our bad deeds, our past deeds, and to open up thoughts of doing tshuva, and to start thinking about doing tshuva to Hashem. But then, V'yeshel Or Miloshon HaRambam, B'Perek Af, V'Halacha Beis Mehilchos Tainus. So then Rambam moves on, Rambam starts talking about a Tanis Tzibor. What is this? Mitzvah Aseh Min HaTorah. So this is not a Gezer Midrabanan. Tisha B'Av and all these other Tanios, they're at best Midrabanans. Probably lower, as we'll see first, for most of them, except for Tisha B'Av. But then there's a category of a Tanis, other than Yom Kippur, that comes Min HaTorah. And what is this? What's the mitzvah? It's lizok, to cry out, to l'haria v'chatzotzros, and to blow the trumpets, akol tzar shetova atzibor. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, that when an awful thing, when there's a calamity that happens to the Jewish people, and we need to be rescued, we blow the trumpets, and we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for salvation. Halacha beis kasa, v'dover zeh, not liftoach, darchei tshuva, but rather midarchei tshuva. It's from the ways of tshuva. Meaning, vodayim b'rambam, shem halacha dal, shekosav, and we did very so from then the rabbis, they added on an additional, not another mitzvah per se, but an element to the mitzvah. So in addition to crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they also said, umidivrei sofrim lis'anos al kol tzara shetavo, meaning, on a deraisa level, when a tzara happens, there's no chiv deraisa to fast. All right, so I want to be clear on that because I wasn't clear on that beforehand. There's no chiv deraisa to fast on a deraisa level. The chiv is to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Came along the rabbis and said, you know what? Let's make this a little bit harder for everyone, and we'll make you, and you should fast as well in addition to crying out to Hashem on a dirabanan level, on a rabbinical level. So on a rabbinical level, the fulfillment of crying out to God is also with fasting as well. Now they're together. But then there's a question. Look at my artificial paragraph that I made over there. Why is it when it comes to the traditional four Tanios that we have, Tisha B'Av, Yud Zayin Tammuz, why in those days, why in the Tanis Tzibor is it Tshuva Mamish? Whereas v'ilu perik hey legabe tanis tanios tzibor shemidivre kabbalah kaza ram rakliv toach darchei tshuva. So why is it that the ones that are on our calendar, those ones are only liftoach midarchei tshuva, liftoach darchei tshuva, to open up the possibility of tshuva, but these other fast days are that the rabbanon make ad hoc are mamish tshuva. That's literally tshuva itself. That's the question that he wants to explore here. So his answer actually, and this is really just to get background, his answer I think is rather intuitive. V'nir pasha b'zeh, d'chilek tanis tzibor, mishar tani, shegozim al tzibor, al kol tzara v'tzara, t'hanach d'ale tani yo tzibor, shemidivrei kabbalah, haloboyim al tzaras hayishanos. The important point here, which is rather intuitive actually, is that these calendaric Tanios, these fast days that are on our calendar for year to year, they're not on a current Sara. They're not on a current tragedy that we're suffering through right now that we need God's salvation. Rather, it's we're remembering tragedies that were in the past. And then, so those are past tragedies. Valkein ena chefza shel atanis ba'ad sara b'toras maisa tshuva v'zaka k'dei she'erchamei menashai. Rather, so what's the purpose of these fast days? I think it got cut off on the bottom. I apologize. Rather, these fast days here are not to find, you know, to beseech God for divine mercy, ela ikara ba kedei leor halavavos o liskor maaseinu haroi mamaase avoseinu v'yedei zeh liftoach b'darchei tshuva, etc., etc., etc. Rather, so it makes sense if these are old fast days and it's not about a current tragedy, so then what's our goal on these days? Our goal can't be that, God, we need your salvation because, I don't know, like Tisha B'Av is just on a weekday sometime and, you know, you want to go to work and there's nothing really crazy happening. So your goal isn't to get God's divine mercy. Rather, it's a day for perhaps a cheshbon nefesh to think about what have I done in the past? What are my ma'asim harayim? What are my bad actions? And how can I improve upon that? So that's why it's in the lashon of liftoach. It's to open up the darchei tshuva. But next underline, where I made a paragraph symbol, Umasha ain't kain betana sheish tsar lefanenu. Whereas a tanis that's instituted by the rabbis for a tragedy, for something difficult that's in front of us right now, sham ha tanis lo bakadila oras. So it's not just simply coming for me to have a moment of inspiration, a moment of introspection. No, we don't need the inspiration from fasting. We mamish have that. We have the inspiration because of whatever outside element is causing a tsar, whether it's a bunch of marauders, whether it's a drought that's happening. We have the tragedy right in front of us. So here, the fast isn't to start get. This is important. The fast day, when it comes to Tisha B'Av or any of the other calendaric ones, is there to get me feeling despondent and feeling that, you know what, I should introspect and I should do tshuva. That's the goal of the Tanis on those days. But the goal of the Tanis on the days where the Rabbanan institute them ad hoc, it's actually the goal of the Tanis not to get you to introspect. You don't need the introspection. You have the issue in front of you right here. Rather, here the tainus is actually to get you. It's a part of the maisa tshuva. Part of your atonement, part of your kapara is fasting. And when you think about it, that's what we do on Yom Kippur as well. That's one of the elements that we scream out. We say that fasting on Yom Kippur is actually part and parcel of the repentance process itself. And we'll see it in just a moment. So we're going to not look at these so much inside, but the next paragraphs, Reb Soloveitchik says, this isn't just like an abstract presentation, but they're actual nafkaminos in how we practice on our calendaric fast days versus these ad hoc fast days based on why we practice them. So for instance, here's one nafkamina. One nafkamina is, let's just say we have Shavas Ratamas. So maybe there's some slichos, maybe there's some a little bit of laning that's different that goes on, Vaychal Moshe. But otherwise, after Shacharis we go to work and we fast if we're able to, and then we come back for Mincha Marv, we break our fast. So there's not a lot to the day that really feels like you're doing tshuva, aside for maybe Shacharis in the morning and then thinking about how I can't eat lunch during the day. However, on these fast days that the rabbis institute on a case-by-case basis, the Seder Ayom Shel Tanis Shegorz Ma'at Tzibur Yesh B'dikas Aviro Shem Shachas Tachanun B'Vido Mincha. There's a lot of extra prayers going on, and also they set up Zekanim in the ear, they find out who are the bad people, they check into, are there certain sins that are being committed, they set up like a whole committee that's going on, and like, well, these people need to work on this sin, these people might be the cause of the Averas, of our Tzaras that are going on. So it's actually like a very fasting, all-day process that's going on. It's not just, oh, well, it's okay, Shavuos Ratamas, time to fast, but otherwise I'm at work today. No, the whole community stopped what they were doing, and they did introspection, and they had the leaders, the rabbinic leaders of the city, try to figure out what are the sins that are being committed, how can we stop that so we could stop the famine or whatever else is going on right now. So the way those days are practiced actually make a lot of sense based on the reason for it, because there's a tsar lefanenu. There's something we need to eliminate right now. And you can't just casually go through a fast day hoping that God will change the course of nature. You need to actually change the course of your day in order to have God change the course of nature. Wow, usually you don't do moral things during this year. But okay, there's a Dvar Torah point. The second point that he brings up is the prayer of Ni'ilah. He says Ni'ilah is actually said not only on Yom Kippur, but it's said on any of these kind of fast days. Fia Nisker Li'il Nir de Ikert Filas Ni'il Hi Rak Bit Somoshi Ikaram Huzaka Tshuva. We say the Ni'ilah prayer. It's an underline on the second column on the top. That the purpose of the tefillah of Ni'ilah is only on Somos when the Iker part of it is Zaka Utshuva, is crying out an immediate Tshuva. So that's why on Tisha B'Av, that's why on Shavuos Ratamas and all our other fast days, we don't say Ni'ilah. It's only on these special ad hoc fast days that they institute the prayer of Ni'ilah, because there is a need, an immediate need. And when there's an immediate need and there's Zaka, we're crying out to Hashem, Ni'ilah, when you look at the prayer, it's a prayer like, our time is out, Hashem, please come to our aid. It's a very appropriate prayer for those kind of fast days. And when you think about it, he doesn't say it here, but it occurred to me, it also makes a lot of sense why Yom Kippur is the one exception to this rule. Yom Kippur, in theory, is a calendar day. Yom Kippur we do every year. And so the question one can ask is, why do we, according to this, if there isn't an immediate need right in front of us, why do we say Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur?
Judged.
Exactly. So Yom Kippur, it's not just any regular fast day. We're being judged on Yom Kippur itself, or we're rather more Rosh Hashanah, but we're looking for a kapara, we're looking for an atonement on Yom Kippur that's going to affect our entire year. So Yom Kippur is not just to be misorer, to have us think about doing tshuva. No, 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 no. We have to actually do tshuva, and if we don't get that done right on Yom Kippur, it can have ramifications for our entire year long. So it actually makes sense why Yom Kippur is the one exception to this rule, and Yom Kippur also has Ni'ilah, whereas all the other fast days do not. I think someone's at the door there. So then there was one other thing that he mentions, which is just the laning for the days. So on a regular Tanis Sivur fast day on the calendar, we have Vayichal Moshe, which is about Moshe advocating for the Jewish people. But on these special fast days that are instituted by the rabbis, these fast days that the rabbis are gozer on the rabbanan are gozer on the Tzibur, they read about the brachos and the klalos. They read about the parsha with the blessings and the curses for following the Torah or not following the Torah. And so that's really made to inspire thoughts of tshuva. So even the laning is different for the days that the Rabbanan Institute are different from the regular Tanis Sibor days that we have. So that's this general piece here. There's one last piece at the end I want to go to, because the Rav Shurkin, when he's writing this here, I guess he thought that maybe this was a little too dry, technical, or not enough lumdus. So what we're going to look at the end over here is actually, we were discussing this, I think, on Shabbos, is the when you think Rav Soloveitchik and Hilchos Avelos, this is usually the thing you think about. This is, I think, Rav Soloveitchik's most famous framing of the sugya. Rav Soloveitchik has this idea where he tries to align different parts of the 3 weeks with different parts of the Avelis process. So the way I heard it, which is not how he presents it here, he presents it a little differently, was that the that 3 weeks are like the 12 months of that someone's mourning for a parent. And then Shua Shachalbo, that the week that Tisha B'Av takes place, I don't know if she came back. Oh, there. And then, so then Shavua Shechalbo is like Shloshim, and then Tisha B'Av itself is like you're in Shiva itself, and the prohibitions of those times of the year for someone who's in Avel are what apply during the 3 weeks, Shavua Shechalbo and Tisha B'Av. He takes a little different approach, but just with that understanding in mind, we could go forward. Look at the last paragraph on the bottom of page Resh Pei Aleph. V'yesh lahamtik b'zeh shinoi. Now we can understand the difference between when we have a new Avelis versus remembering an Avelis from the past, a mourning from the past. The Avelis Chadasha, Tchilasa Baninus Kishemesu Mutalafanav. When someone has a new Avelis, meaning a person just passed away, so then they start with Aninus. Aninus is the stage that someone's in before the mace is buried. So that means that usually we assume that it has the same prohibitions of Shiva, but in addition, he's not supposed to be doing mitzvos aseh. He's not supposed to be davening. He's not supposed to be putting on tefillin. He's not supposed to be saying brachos or performing any of these mitzvos aseh. So stage one is Aninus, Baninus he's putting together also with Shiva. Lacher Stima Sagolel, whatever that means, Macholis, but after the person's buried, Chal Din Avila Shel Shiva. So that's stage one. Vacher Kach, and then a person's practice Shloshim. And then if a person's parent passed away, the Yud Beis Chodesh, then it's a year of mourning, and the prohibitions get a little bit lighter then. For instance, during the 30 days, shaving may be an extreme prohibition, but once it's Yud Beis Chodeshim, the rule at the Rabbanan Institute is that if your friends were going to come over to you and say, you know, you look very disheveled, you need to shave, so that's when you're allowed to shave. There's actually a, not to get too far afield, but there's a whole machlokus what that point is. So if I remember correctly, Ramosha Feinstein's like, every 2 to 3 months is when someone's allowed to shave. But I think I have to look into this again, but I think Rav Schechter might have even more lenient standards, especially in our society today where many people are shaving every day to 2 days for work. So the standard here in in East Coast United States here in America might not be every 2 to 3 months. Maybe Rav Moshe Feinstein in a more yeshiva-oriented community where people maybe don't shave as much, so maybe that's why it's every 2 to 3 months. But anyway, that'll take us too far afield. Point is, there are different Yisurim in different gradations depending on what time in Avelos you're in. Umasha Enkein ba'Avelos Yishana. Whereas when it comes to remembering an old time of an old tragedy, something that took place in the past, Tchilasa b'mei bein hamitzarim. So the beginning starts during the 3 weeks between Yud Zayin Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, Omei Rosh Chodesh Av, and from the beginning of Chodesh Av, Mematin B'Simcha, as the Mishnah says, we lessen our Simcha once Chodesh Av begins. V'yesh lo din shel Yud Beis Chodesh. So he's saying is that when Av begins, not the beginning of 3 weeks, he seems to say when Av begins, that's when the prohibitions of Yud Beis Chodesh of 12 months come in. Shein Nosin Nashim. So someone's prohibited to marry a woman. V'acher kach chal din shel shvu shechal bo. And then when the week of Tisha B'Av comes up, asher noeg bo dinei shloshim. That's when we practice the prohibitions of shloshim. V'hu aser begeas v'tisporas, which is most commonly, the most common iser that we think of with shloshim, is for someone to go ahead and to use scissors, to shave. Laundering is an issue as well. V'acher kach chal Tisha B'Av im dinei avelus the shiva v'anina shedoma lemesim mutal fanav. And then when you reach Tisha B'Av with the dinei avelus of shiva v'anina shedoma lemesim mutal fanav. So Tisha B'Av, it's like you have mesim mutal fanav. So we went back in time. For some reason, when we're remembering an old tragedy, instead of gradually receding from mourning, we're actually going deeper and deeper into the mourning process until the final day of the 3 weeks. Once we reach Tisha B'Av, that's when it's like it's Shiva itself. That's when the prohibitions are most intense. And the question is, why is this so? So he says, V'nir da'avilas chadash, next paragraph, artificial paragraph. It makes a lot of sense, actually. When someone has a person pass away, so the idea, obviously each person has their own way of mourning and it takes a certain amount of time, but the general principle is that the further one is away from the time of the tragedy, from the time of the person's passing, the assumption is the time will heal and the easier it will be. So the mourning prohibitions mimic the human psychology, and the assumption is that, well, it's very intense during 7 days, it's slightly less intense during 30, and then by the end of Yud Beis Chodeshim, it's supposed to be even less intense as well. Of course, human psychology works differently for everybody, but the idea is that the mourning prohibitions mimic the human psychology. As we depart further from the person who passed away from that date, the mourning becomes less intense as well. The mourning prohibitions.
Is that what it said about Avram and Sarah?
Oh, what was that?
She was missed more each day.
She was missed more each day. So for him, it became more intense over time. Wow. So that was probably more of a unique case, or I don't know, maybe for some people that's how it works. But that seems to be Chazal's general impression. However, Achmasha Einkein Avelos Yishana. Whereas when we're coming to remember a tragedy that took place in the past, such as Tisha B'Av, Ikardina Banoi al Zichron Hatzaros. It's built on the remembrance of the Tsaros. Niskar Yoser Yoser Kahu Niskar Yoser Vitsara. Sort of, it's kind of like what you're saying with Sarah. So the more you remember it, the more intense it becomes as we go on. The Chalav Chiyuvim Nosam Shalves, we add on more Chiyuvim and Vavelas, Adshe Vyom Tishabav Hudoma Kavisha Mesa Mutalafanav. So there, because it's so far away, the rabbis actually instituted a gradual remembrance. So it's artificial. So the rabbis had to say, you know what, we're going to start with a few acts of mourning, and then build it up till it builds a crescendo and culminates on Tisha B'Av itself. And so that's the difference between Avilas Chadasha and Avilas Yishana. Avilas Chadasha, it becomes less intense over time. So the mourning process becomes less intense in terms of prohibitions. Whereas Avilas Yishana, since it's all about remembering, it's not about an issue that's in front of us right now, it's about remembering something in the past, the rabbis wanted to institute in a way that it becomes more intense for us over time. So that's the general presentation on the difference between our calendaric fast days versus the ad hoc fast days that the rabbis institute, with the slight exception of Yom Kippur, as we mentioned, because Yom Kippur is a unique day. Yom Kippur seems to be a calendaric day, but also having the urgency of having a tzara in front of us at the same time.
You could also look at the mourning for a relative is not something to... It's actually a positive thing, because the normal psychological effect of a death on a person is they want to just close up and do nothing. And that's Shiva. And the thing is, you got to get the person back into real life. So there's a gradual forcing of the lifting of the restrictions to make a person get back to do normal things. Mm. And that's the Shloshim. And then there's less restrictions and forcing them to do more and more. So it's a way of the mitzvos working a person out from being cocooned into a shell back into normal life.
So it's a way of reintegrating the person into the world. Yeah, I think that fits with this very well. Probably, I think what you said in those 10 seconds is better than what I said the whole time. Okay, now that we have a general idea of how the fast days work, I want to jump into one specific case. I don't think right now it's why Freddy was sitting around this table, but I think it's a very interesting idea. So the next, we just looked at the first siman in Hilchos Tisha B'Av and Shulchan Aruch. The next siman is the difference between Tisha B'Av and other fast days. So until now, we've been putting Tisha B'Av with the other fast days. It was Tisha B'Av and the other three fast days versus the ad hoc fast days of the Rabbanan that they instituted. Now we're going to go deeper, and we're going to look at distinctions between Tisha B'Av versus the other three fast days. So this is Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, page Shin Samech Beis. It's the last piece. We're going to skip a piece, and this is going to be the last piece in the mini packet we have in front of us. I'll read out the Shulchan Aruch. It's actually quoted in the first paragraph, so you might be able to follow along in that. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Hakol Chayevim Lasanos Arbat Somos Halalu V'Aser Lifrot Zgader. Everyone is chayev to practice these fast days, to fast on them, and it's prohibited to do otherwise. But then the Rambam adds in, Mihu, who borrows menikos, women who are pregnant and are nursing, shemitzdaros harbe, that would suffer a lot of pain from fasting. Ainless anos, they don't need a fast. They should not fast. Vafilu ainam mitzdaros, and even if they're not in pain, ainam michuyavos lisanos. So this is an important point. When the women are in tsar, who are pregnant or are nursing, they're not allowed to fast. Whereas when they aren't in tsar, they're not in pain, they aren't chayiv still because they're still in a precarious position. But if they want to volunteer to do it, they're able to do it as well. El shenagul hachmir, and it seems that according to Ramah, women were actually machmir, who weren't in pain but were nursing or pregnant, and they would fast. However, v'dafka begimel tzomos, this is specifically the other three of the four fast days. Aval b'tisha b'av, when it comes to tisha b'av, muchliyavos lahashlim. There, even though they could, look, you know, if the woman's suffering from birth and she can't fast, we'll give you a sort of a pass, but we're still going to make you make up that fast day later on. You should still make up the day of Tisha B'Av. I haven't looked enough into Halacha Maisa if there's ways around that as well, but that is what the Ramah says. Which begs the question, and this is the question at the end of the first paragraph, Lama li l'chalik, why should I make a distinction? If a woman is putter from fasting on Tisha B'Av, then why does she have to make up the fast day later on? And if she has to make up that fast day later on, why specifically Tisha B'Av and not the other three tzomos as well? Hear the question? It's pretty straightforward. So we're salvaging next paragraph, and the underline says, So if I had to ask you right here, this is not a rhetorical question. Why is the woman putter from fasting? What would you say? Sakana nefashos. For whom?
For her.
For her.
Baby.
For the baby. Oh, we have an expert. That's your area, right? Okay. You're both doctors with little kids. So it's you're saying it's a danger for the mother, and you're saying it's a danger for the baby. And baby. I can't. What?
The baby.
All right, so I can't weigh in on this because clearly there are medical authorities sitting here, and I'm offered tachas raglayim. But I'll talk.
There's actually a study done.
Oh yeah.
25 years ago, that there was an increase in premature births in Yerushalayim after Yom Kippur.
That's crazy. Wow. So, the study you're quoting about premature babies dying after Yom Kippur, being born after
women having premature births after Yom Kippur.
So
hundreds have been refused.
But is it because they were fasting, or is it because they were walking to it for sure?
Confounds.
Nobody knows why. They looked at 5 years.
I understand.
They looked at 5 years of data.
That's fascinating.
Why? It's just an association. It's an association. It's an increase in premature birth.
That's very fascinating. So I think what you're saying is the route where salvage is going to go down. So I think if you just look at the Shulchan Aruch, my assumption would have been that this is related to a chula she'in bo sakana versus a chula she'yesh bo sakana. So about the woman. I thought it was more about the woman. It sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, just a simple reading, that the woman is in tsar, then she's putter. If she's not in tsar, she's not in pain, then she's like, she should do it if she's able to. Rasal Vachik says, V'nir techomu bereshim sane gam ubra misana ima. So whenever the woman's fasting, the child is fasting with her. Va'alo al ubar lo chal chiyuva de titus. But the ubar can't be chayiv in a tatis. I mean, it's not even a katan yet. It's not even a child yet. You know, whether we want to say a fetus is a child or is not, even if it was a child, it wouldn't be chayiv in anything. A katan's not chayiv in mitzvos. And we should hachi petura gama im. So the woman's petur doesn't come from her own tsar. See, because this is very interesting. In Hilchos Titus, there's a special category called a woman who are nursing and a woman who have given birth, a woman who are pregnant. And then there's like a separate discussion about people who are sick, people who are cholim, who aren't able to fast. But for some reason, it's like a special category called women who are nursing or women who are pregnant. And the reason is because it's not just simply about them. It's about their ubar. It's about the child that's in them that's not chayiv in fasting as well. V'nir lahavi yisoleze mi'divrei Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says, Ubros minikos mesatz b'tisha b'av, mashlimas k'derech shemesatz mashlimas v'yom kippurim. Aval gimel somas ha'acher, b'turim el-asanas, v'aval pikein. Roy, so further in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Roy, shelo te'achelna l'saneg, I think it's actually in the Mishnah Berurah. He says this. Roy shalot techelna l'sane b'machal v'misha el kidei kiyum havlad. Nonetheless, woman should not, even if a woman, okay, so the woman's eating, she's eating so her child is not fasting, but still, she shouldn't all of a sudden have a whole sudas achashvero. She shouldn't, I was about to say take scotch out of the closet, but she shouldn't be doing that anyway. But she shouldn't have a whole enjoyable suda. She should eat what is necessary for her and the child. Don't have whatever, don't make a lasagna or I don't know, whatever foods are like really enjoyable. Don't have like what we're having here, right? This is like very fancy, I think. don't have Starbucks and Salavichik. Ulam. So the question is, Sirchbir, my time is Shir Heteru Kadi Kimavlat. So now here's another question. And the question is, in addition to our first question, which is why does she have to make up the fast for Tisha B'Av, why on the other fast days is there a limitation on how much she can eat? I would think once she's able to eat, she should be able to eat whatever she wants for Kiyam Havlad. Why is this limitation of what she's able to have on these fast days? So Ulam Lefima Shenemar. So Dal Yisso Peturam Lesarasu Machas Kiyam Havlad. Right, we said the permission for her not to fast is in order to sustain her child that she has. V'zeu Kol Hamatish Alatanis. And this is the sole purpose that she is exempt from fasting on these days. Vasher alkein shura sadin nosena shalote achel ha'im yoser mishir zeh. So it makes sense now that if the whole purpose is just kiyam havlad, she shouldn't be able to have Starbucks. She shouldn't be able to have all of these muffins and yogurt. She should just eat what is necessary and most nutritious for the child, because her whole patur from fasting is just for kiyam havlad, not for herself. El Ditzurkli and Lefiza, we still have a question. My time Achilah Kadin Shel Tishba Mishar Gimel Tanyos. Why is Tishba different than the other three fast days? Dagam Tishba of Ein Chiyah Tanyos Al Ubar. I could say, but Tishba also. If Tishba, there's also a patur for the Ubar, for the fetus to fast. So if there's a patur for the fetus to fast on Tishba, why does the woman have to make up that fast day? She had the same exemption, the same dispensation on Tisha B'Av that she had on the other fast days. It's because of her child. Because of her child, she eats. Because of her child, she's exempt from fasting. So just like on the other fast days, she doesn't have to make them up. Why does she have to make them up on Tisha B'Av instead? So that is the general question that we have. And the obvious answer to this question is going to be that Tisha B'Av is actually different than the other 3 days. Not just in the duration of the fast, but in how we are mechuyav, in how the obligation of the fast became binding. Venir Lomar. So I'll just say this part outside. So in the Gemara, in Tanit Yalaf Amin Beis, Shmuel makes a point that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is a chiyum midrabanan. But the other three fast days, it is something that the people, that rabbis don't want to publicize, because then people will say, hey, wait a minute, why am I keeping these other three fast days? The other three fast days were made as voluntary. In other words, the B'nai Yisrael could choose whether they wanted to accept upon themselves these fast days. And guess what? And that's actually why the Shulchan Aruch says, Hakol chayavim l'sas arba tzomos, you have to keep these four tzomos, v'asur lifrotz gader. And it's usur to be poritz, to break through the fence. That kind of language is used when someone breaks a minhag, when someone breaks a custom. Because these other three tanios are not strict durabanan. It's not like, you know, muksa on Shabbos. It's not like, chicken and milk. These aren't strict durabanan. It's rather that we accept, it's a minhag avasei to be a deinu. And that's why we're chayiv in them. Well, chicken milk stir, I don't know. That's what we paskin. Meat and milk stir, right? So chicken milk, we say, is stir. It happens to be machlok said the Gemara. I said chicken specifically. So maybe I shouldn't use these subtle examples because it'll just throw everyone off. I feel like I did that yesterday in the sermon when I said something about waiting 24 hours for a pot. Someone totally misheard what I said, and now it's going to cook meat in their dairy pots. Yeah. So I have to be careful on these things. So based on this, the Rak Tisha B'Av, in the other line, the Rak Tisha B'Av who tanet tzibor, shat tzibor b'chuyah b'Av. Tisha B'Av is the only chiyav midrabanan of a titus that we have that is imposed upon us as a tzibor, as a community. And this is going to sound now a very similar type of way of thinking. If any of you were able to listen to the pre-shvuah shir that I just put out as a recording, there's a similar chakira that we talked about over there. The tzibor versus the yachid, the community versus individual obligation. Masha Eken Kol Gimel Atanios Eino Bechefsa Shalem Tanit Tzibor. The other three fast days, they don't have the chefsa of a Tanit Tzibor. Meaning, Elechuv Al Kol Yochid V'Yochid Misr L'Saras B'Tam Kabbalah Shekiblu Aleim. Rather, when we accepted this minhag upon ourselves, it's not like a tzibor accepting it upon ourselves the way the Rabbanan institutes something, but rather it is the institution on each and every individual. What comes out from this is very fascinating. If you look in the underline on the next page, Shin Samech Gimel, we'll have to start wrapping up. Lefikach, based on this, Bashar Taniyo Shadin Tanis Yochid Aleim, Paturas Hamuberis Umenikos Kimitahavi Tanis Yochid. So in these other fast days, it makes sense that the woman and the Ubar are going to be putter because it was accepted upon themselves as Yechidim. Ein klal afil chalos tanis l'ubar, and the ubar as a yachid is not chayiv in mitzvos. I mean, is not chayiv in the fast day. So since the ubar is not chayiv in the fast day, lahachi ein hamuberes aminikos rashayim lahachnis as a ubar l'tanis. In fact, not only is it just a dispensation for the woman, it's usur for the woman to make the ubar, to make the fetus fast on that day, because since the obligation is on an individual by individual basis, the ubar was never chayiv in the tanis to begin with. Whereas Masha Enki b'Tishbav, the Havi Tanis Sibur, Tishbav, which was an obligation put on all Bnei Yisrael, Avsha Ubar Eino Chayiv b'Tanis, even though the ubar is not chayiv in the tanis in the end of the day, Mikol Makom Kevan Dahavi Chalos Tanis Sibur Alakol, since the chalos, the effect of Tanis Sibur, the obligation, took place upon every single individual, the woman really is chayev to fast. It's a ubar bechlal ha'tainis. Deish chalos tainis gam klape ha'ubar b'torah sibor. What's fascinating that comes out from here is that really the ubar baseline. The baseline is that the ubar really is chayev in the tanis when it comes to Tisha B'Av. It's just that then there's a patur because he's a poor little fetus who needs food. Whereas when it comes to the other three fast days, those were instituted as a minhag, on an individual by individual basis. Anyone who's able to accept it upon themselves, they do that. So an ubar is not able to do that. So the ubar was never chayiv to begin with in these other three taniyos. Whereas when it comes to the fasting of Tisha B'Av, really the ubar is chayiv to fast on Tisha B'Av. But then, split second later, without skipping a beat, we say, he's chayiv, but we give him a dispensation because he's a fetus. He can't fast. He needs his nutrition. And so that's why, now it makes sense why a woman has to make up Tisha B'Av. And she doesn't have to make up the other days. The other days, she doesn't have to make up because she was never chayiv to begin with. But Tisha B'Av, since she's really chayiv in it, and Ubar also is really chayiv in it, so true, she can't fast now because she's pregnant or she's nursing. But since she was really chayiv in it, Tisha B'Av for her, in a sense, is like a nidcha. Sure, okay, you don't have to fast today, but you're really chayiv in Tisha B'Av. So now you're going to have to fast another time to make that up. Whereas the other fast days, her and the ubar were never chayiv to fast to begin with. There never was that chayiv that fell upon them. Therefore, they don't have to make up those days as well. That's the general framework that our Soloveitchik uses to explain how Tisha B'Av for a woman is different than the other fast days as well. And now it makes sense also why, just in general, the standard for giving a patur for a woman to not fast on one of the minor fast days is much different than it's not just about simply Tisha B'Av is more important, Tisha B'Av is like the base of Mikdash being destroyed. You can put the Ashkafic reasons on the side. Just think about the halachic mechanics. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, the woman really is chayiv. Therefore, the bar for giving her a patur, an exemption from it, is a little bit higher than it would be for the other fast days as well. Just simply based on how it was instituted. So the piece goes on a little bit further. However, I think it would be in our interest to end here. Let me see one last piece. Oh. You know what? We'll skip to just the last paragraph and we'll end with that. Rasalavichik connects this to the general discussion of Cholesh Ebo Sakana. So we've been talking about women the whole time. What about men, right? We need equality here. We need to talk about men as well. So what about just people in general who are sick? Last paragraph, Shin Samach Gimel on the bottom. Valpi komavur nir ludun nafkamina nosefes. Here's another nafkamina. Dinei chakurach rodim becholish imbo sakana. When it comes to this, so there's different levels of sickness. This comes up on Shabbos especially because the question of taking medicine on Shabbos is where the sugya takes place. So some call mechush ba'alma, which is, I have a little headache, I have a little discomfort. So that's when you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. But then there's a kolosha imbo sakana, who's someone who, he's sick, he's bedridden, or not necessarily bedridden, but can't function normally. So, but he's not going to die either. So that's a kolosha imbo sakana. So there's certain dispensations for that. A person could take medicine in that case. And there's a kolosha yeshbo sakana, which is a person who's sick and is in mortal danger. So a person is in mortal danger. You could break Shabbos. You could break almost all the mitzvahs in the Torah to save that person. Someone who's meichesh ba'alma, you can't do it. You can't break any mitzvahs for, even derabbanans. In fact, there's even iser derabbanan to take refuah b'Shabbos. And then the kolosha imbo sakana category in the middle is where everything gets a little bit more gray. So b'cholosh ebo sakana shebetur b'latzalas b'dalat tayo. So he has a betur from fasting on the four fast days. Question is, im hichmer atmo v'tsam im yishol kiyum shel tanis. Let's say he says, you know what? I can't imagine myself not fasting on Tisha B'av. Even on b'cholosh ebo sakana, I want to fast on Tisha B'av nonetheless. And even if it's at extreme pain and discomfort to myself, the question is, if this guy is a b'cholosh ebo sakana, volunteers a fast day, does he actually fulfill it? Meaning, does he get the mitzvah of fasting? V'nir d'yishlomar d'chalukim b'din zeh ha'gimol tanios mitishab avdavi tanat sibor. So the answer to this is going to be based on the chiluk we just said between the three fast days versus Tisha B'Av as well. D'bishar tanios kev d'shu p'tur mi'achiyav shalatzom ein lo kalkiyav shaltanis. Since, just like the ubar, the cholosh ebo sakana is putter from the fast days, meaning when we accepted upon ourselves the chiv of these three fast days, we did not accept upon such a stricture upon those who are part of Am Yisrael that were going to be suffering from extreme sickness at the time. Sharei kol tanis ina elatanis yochan mikoach mashikib aleim vi batal chiyuva diday batal kol ikar akiyam shaltas mishubachi im hayachol avitzam lav klumhu. So this is amazing. If this guy now wants to volunteer to fast on the minor fast days, you haven't done anything. It's insignificant. You haven't fulfilled. It's hard to say a mitzvah. It's not exactly a mitzvah, but you haven't fulfilled a mitzvah here. Avol betishah bav yishomar. But Tisha B'Av, as we said before, everyone's chayiv. Even the Ubar technically is chayiv to fast on Tisha B'Av. Me being sick with a cholosh ebo, as a cholosh ebo sakana, doesn't remove the status of this as a fast day to me. This is still a fast day. The other day, yeah, that's also a fasting point. The other days aren't fast days. It's just we took on a minhag to act as if they were fast days. Tisha B'Av is, the day itself is intrinsically imbued with titus. It is a fast day. The other days are not fast days. They are days that we chose to fast on. That's also a very important chilek. So me being sick makes it that I'm not chayiv in those other three fast days, because those aren't fast days. It's just a question of I'm chayiv. But Tisha B'Av is a fast day whether I'm sick or not. So since it's inherently a fast day, if he decides to volunteer to fast on Tisha B'Av, despite the fact that he's potter, certainly he's included in the Titus Sibor, in this communal obligation to fast, and he fulfills this obligation. This comes up to another major chakir of Hutra versus Dechuya, whether it's like on Shabbos when we say that you could drive someone to the hospital when she's giving birth. So is it hutra or duchuya? Meaning, is it that this is a completely permissible action, I don't need to be worried about doing other malachos? Or no, it's duchuya. Really what you're doing is not permitted. It's usur, but it's an isur, it's a prohibition that you're permitted to do because there's a greater good out there. There's a similar idea that comes up also in the sugya. It's in Sanhedrin, when you're defending yourself, and you're allowed to kill someone who's a rodef, who's chasing after you to kill him. So the question is it a hutcher dechuya? Meaning, are you allowed to, is it not called an act of murder when you do self-defense? It's called self-defense. Or is it, no, I'm murdering the guy chasing after me, it's just that this is a permissible kind of murder. It's a bad action, but it's a bad action that I'm allowed to and even supposed to take in this case. So a similar idea over here. Is the fasting hutra really the gimel tanios? It's hutra. I don't really have to fast. It's just a question of if I take upon myself this chiyav. So therefore, he doesn't fulfill a mitzvah if he chooses to fast that day, because it was mutter completely not to fast that day. But on Tisha B'Av, it's dechuya. If you don't fast on Tisha B'Av, like the woman, she has to make up that fast day because it's dechuya. Really, she's supposed to fast. It's just that we give you a dispensation. Similarly over here, since it's dechuya for Chol HaShem B'Sakana, if he doesn't want to fast on this day, he doesn't have to because he has permission. But really, he should be. Therefore, if he volunteers it, it's actually a mitzvah as well. All right. Yashar Koach. Thank you all for coming. And Neshama Shavaliya, thank you again for sponsoring.